Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso, translated by Edward Fairfax. Book 14, Part 2. "You are within the hollow womb," quoth he, "of fertile earth, the nurse of all things made, and but you brought and guided are by me, her sacred entrails could no wight invade. My palace shortly shall you splendent see, with glorious light, though built in night and shade. A pagan was I born, but yet the Lord, to grace, by baptism, hath my soul restored. Nor yet by help of devil, or aid from hell, I do this uncouth work and wondrous feat. The Lord forbid I use or charm or spell, to raise foul Dis from his infernal seat. But of all herbs, of every spring and well, the hidden power I know, and virtue great. And all that kind hath hid from mortal sight, and all the stars, their motions and their might. For in these caves I dwell not buried still from sight of heaven, but often I resort to tops of Lebanon or Carmel hill, and there in liquid air myself disport. There Mars and Venus I behold at will, as bare as erst when Vulcan took them short. And how the rest roll, glide, and move I see, how their aspects benign or froward be. And underneath my feet the clouds I view, now thick, now thin, now bright with iris bow, the frost and snow, the rain, the hail, the dew, the winds from whence they come and whence they blow, how Jove his thunder makes and lightning new, how with the bolt he strikes the earth below, how comate, crinate, caudate stars are framed, I knew. My skill with pride my heart inflamed. So, learned, cunning, wise, myself I thought, that I supposed my wit so high might climb, to know all things that God had framed or wrought, fire, air, sea, earth, man, beast, sprite, place and time. But when your hermit me to baptism brought, and from my soul had washed the sin and crime, then I perceived my sight was blindness still. My wit was folly, ignorance my skill. Then saw I that like owls in shining sun, so gainst the beams of truth our souls are blind. And at myself to smile I then begun, and at my heart puffed up with folly's wind. Yet still these arts, as I before had done, I practiced. Such was the hermit's mind. Thus hath he changed my thoughts, my heart, my will, and rules mine art, my knowledge, and my skill. In him I rest, on him my thoughts depend. My Lord, my teacher, and my guide is he. This noble work he strives to bring to end. He is the architect, the workman we. The hardy youth home to this camp to send, from prison strong, my care, my charge shall be. So he commands, and me ere this foretold, your coming oft to seek the champion bold. While this he said, he brought the champions twain down to a vault wherein he dwells and lies. It was a cave, high, wide, large, ample plain, with goodly rooms, halls, chambers, galleries, all what is bred in rich and precious vein of wealthy earth, and hid from mortal eyes, there shines, and fair adorned was every part, with riches grown by kind, not framed by art. An 100 grooms, quick, diligent, and neat, attendance gave about these strangers bold. Against the wall there stood a cupboard great, of massive plate, of silver, crystal, gold. But when with precious wines and costly meat they filled were, thus spake the wizard old. "Now fits the time, sir knights, I tell and show what you desire to hear and long to know. Armida's craft, her sleight and hidden guile, you partly wot, her acts and arts untrue, how to your camp she came, and by what wile the greatest lords and princes thence she drew. You know she turned them first to monsters vile, and kept them since closed up in secret mew. Lastly, to Gazaward in bonds them sent, whom young Rinaldo rescued as they went. What chance since, I will at large declare, to you unknown, a story strange and true. When first her prey got with such pain and care, escaped and gone, the witch perceived and knew, her hands she wrung with grief, her clothes she tear, and full of woe these heavy words outthrew. Alas, my knights are slain, my prisoners free, yet of that conquest never boast shall he. He in their place shall serve me and sustain their plagues, their torments suffer, sorrows bear, and they his absence shall lament in vain, and wail his loss and theirs with many a tear. Thus talking to herself, she did ordain a false and wicked guile, as you shall hear. Thither she hasted, where the valiant knight had overcome and slain her men in fight. Rinaldo there had dolt and left his own, and on his back a pagan's harness tied. Perchance he deemed so to pass unknown, and in those arms less noted false to ride. A headless corse in fight late overthrown, the witch in his forsaken arms did hide, and by a brook exposed it on the sand, whither she wished would come a Christian band. Their coming might the dame foreknow right well, for secret spies she sent forth thousand ways, which every day news from the camp might tell, who parted thence, booties to search or praise. Besides, the sprites conjured by sacred spell, all what she asks or doubts, reveals or then says. The body, therefore, placed she in that part that furthered best her sleight, her craft and art. And near the corpse, a varlet false and sly she left, attired in shepherd's homely weed, and taught him how to counterfeit and lie as time required, and he performed the deed. With him your soldiers spoke, of jealousy and false suspect amongst them he strewed the seed, that since brought forth the fruit of strife and jar, of civil brawls, contention, discord, war. And as she wished, so the soldiers thought, by Godfrey's practice that the prince was slain. Yet vanished that suspicion false to naught, when truth spread forth her silver wings again. Her false devices thus Armida wrought. This was her first deceit, her foremost train. What next she practiced shall you hear me tell, against our knight, and what thereof befell. Armida hunted him through wood and plain, till on Arante's flowery banks he stayed, there where the stream did part and meet again, and in the midst a gentle island made. A pillar fair was pight beside the main, near which a little frigate floating laid. The marble white the prince did long behold, and this inscription read, there writ in gold. Whoso there art, whom will or chance doth bring with happy steps to flood Orontes' sides, know that the world hath not so strange a thing twixt east and west as this small island hides. Then pass and see, without more tarrying. The hasty youth to pass the stream provides, and for the cogs was narrow, small, and straight. Alone he rode, and bade his squires their wait. Landed, he stalks about, yet naught he sees but verdant groves, sweet shades, and mossy rocks, with caves and fountains, flowers, herbs, and trees, so that the words he read he takes for mocks. But that green isle was sweet at all degrees, wherewith enticed down sits he and unlocks his closed helm, and bares his visage fair, to take sweet breath from cool and gentle air. A rumbling sound amid the waters deep meanwhile he heard, and thither turned his sight, and tumbling in the troubled stream took keep, how the strong waves together rush and fight. Whence first he saw with golden tresses peep the rising visage of a virgin bright, and then her neck, her breasts and all, as low as he for shame could see, or she could show. So in the twilight does sometimes appear a nymph, a goddess, or a fairy queen, and though no siren but a sprite this were, yet by her beauty seemed it she had been one of those sisters false which haunted near the Tyrrhene shores and kept those waters sheen. Like theirs her face, her voice was, and her sound, and thus she sung and pleased both skies and ground. Ye happy youths, who April fresh in May attire in flowering green of lusty age, for glory vain or virtue's idle ray, do not your tender limbs to toil engage in calm streams, fishes, birds in sunshine play. Who followeth pleasure, he is only sage. So nature saith, yet gainst her sacred will, why still rebel you, and why strive you still? O fools who youth possess, yet scorn the same, a precious but a short abiding treasure. Virtue itself is but an idle name, prized by the world above reasoned all and measure, and honor, glory, praise, renown, and fame, that men's proud hearts bewitch with tickling pleasure, an echo is, a shade, a dream, a flower, with each wind blasted, spoiled with every shower. But let your happy souls in joy possess the ivory castles of your bodies fair, your passed harms salve with forgetfulness. Haste not your coming evils with thought and care. Regard no blazing star with burning tress, nor storm, nor threatening sky, nor thundering air. This wisdom is good life and worldly bliss. Kind teacheth us, nature commands us this. Thus sung the spirit false, and stealing sleep, to which her tunes enticed his heavy eyes, by step and step did on his senses creep. Still every limb therein unmoved lies, nor thunder less loud could from this slumber deep of quiet death true image make him rise. Then from her ambush forth Armida start, swearing revenge and threatening torment's smart. But when she looked upon his face a while, and saw how sweet he breathed, how still he lay, how his fair eyes, though closed, seemed to smile, at first she stayed, astound with great dismay. Then sat her down, so love can art beguile, and as she sat and looked, fled fast away her wrath that on his forehead gazed the maid, as in his spring Narcissus tooting laid. And with a veil she wiped now and then from his fair cheeks the globes of silver sweat, and cool air gathered with a trembling fan to mitigate the rage of melting heat. Thus, who would think it, his hot eye-glance can of that cold frost dissolve the hardness great which late congealed the heart of that fair dame, who late a foe, a lover now became. Of woodbines, lilies, and of roses sweet, which proudly flowered through that wanton plain, all plaited fast, well knit and joined meet, she framed a soft but surely holding chain, wherewith she bound his neck, his hands, and feet. Thus bound, thus taken, did the prince remain. And in a coach which two old dragons drew, she laid the sleeping knight, and thence she flew. Nor turned she to Damascus kingdoms large, nor to the fault built in Asphaltes lake, but jealous of her dear and precious charge, and of her love ashamed, the way did take to the wide ocean, whither skiff or barge from us doth seld or never voyage make. And there to frolic with her love a while, she chose a waste, a sole and desert isle, an isle that with her fellows bears the name of Fortunate, for temperate air and mold. There in a mountain high alight the dame, a hill obscured with shades of forests old, upon whose sides the witch by art did frame continual snow, sharp frost, and winter cold. But on the top, fresh, pleasant, sweet, and green, beside a lake, a palace built this queen. There, in perpetual sweet and flowering spring, she lives at ease, and joys her lord at will. The hardy youth from this strange prison bring your valors must, directed by my skill, and overcome each monster and each thing that guards the palace or that keeps the hill. Nor shall you want a guide, or engines fit, to bring you to the mount or conquer it. Beside the stream aparted shall you find a dame in visage young, but old in years. Her curled locks about her front are twined, a parti-colored robe of silk she wears. This shall conduct you, swift as air or wind, or that flit bird that Jove's hot weapon bears, a faithful pilot, cunning, trusty shore, as Tiphys was, or skilful Palinor. At the hill's foot, whereon the witch doth dwell, the serpents hiss and cast their poison vile. The ugly boars do rear their bristles fell. There gape the bears and roar the lions wild. But yet a rod I have can easily quell their rage and wrath, and make them meek and mild. Yet on the top and height of all the hill the greatest danger lies, and greatest ill. There welleth out a fair, clear, bubbling spring, whose waters pure the thirsty guests entice. But in those liquors cold the secret sting of strange and deadly poison closed lies. One sup thereof the drinker's heart doth bring to sudden joy, whence laughter vain doth rise, nor that strange merriment once stops or stays, till with his laughter's end he end his days. Then from those deadly wicked streams refrain your thirsty lips. Despise the dainty cheer you find exposed upon the grassy plain, nor those false damsels once vouchsafe to hear, that in melodious tunes their voices strain, whose faces lovely, smiling, sweet appear. But you their looks, their voice, their songs despise, and enter fair Armida's paradise. The house is builded like a maze within, with turning stairs, false doors, and winding ways, the shape whereof, plotted in vellum thin, I will you give, that all those sleights berays. In midst a garden lies, where many a gin and net to catch frail hearts false Cupid lays. There in the verdure of the arbor's green, with your brave champion lies the wanton queen. But when she haply riseth from the night, and hath withdrawn her presence from the place, then take a shield I have of diamonds bright, and hold the same before the young man's face, that he may glass therein his garments light, and wanton soft attire, and view his case, that with the sight shame and disdain may move his heart to leave that base and servile love. Now resteth naught that needful is to tell, but that you go secure, safe, sure, and bold. Unseen the palace may you enter well, and pass the dangers all I have foretold. For neither art nor charm nor magic spell can stop your passage or your steps withhold. Nor shall Armida, so you guarded be, your coming aught foreknow or once foresee. And eke as safe from that enchanted fort, you shall return and scape unhurt away. But now the time doth us to rest exhort, and you must rise by peep of springing day. This said, he led them through a narrow port into a lodging fair wherein they lay. There glad and full of thoughts he left his guests, and in his wonted bed the old man rests. End of the 14th book.